Hope you're having a great day. Coming up on Which Way Is Life, the podcast designed to help you find a healthier, inspired life, episode number 31. My guest today, life coach and member of the famous Spelling family, Randy Spelling. We talk about how to be more aware and uplift your thoughts, as well as how to unlimit yourself and how to be fulfilled from the inside out instead of the outside in. And if I could ask a favor, quickly hit the subscribe button wherever you listen to catch every episode. Which Way Is Life is brought to you by Audible.com. Get a free audiobook download and 30-day free trial at audibletrial.com/whichwayislife. Over 180,000 titles to choose from for your iPhone, Android, Kindle, or MP3 player. Which Way Is Life is also brought to you by Real Salt. You get all the minerals, all the flavor, and all the benefits of sea salt that's real, real brand sea salt.
Which Way Is Life? Your roadmap to a healthier, inspired life. Bill talks with trendsetting doctors, fitness gurus, life coaches, celebrities, athletes, and other interesting experts to help you find the life you want to live. Get inspired. Get healthy. Reconnect with life. Here's Bill Klaproth.
So excited to have Randy Spelling on with us today. Randy is an ICF certified life coach, motivational speaker, writer, and spiritual facilitator. Randy does relationship coaching, spiritual coaching, and career coaching at his company, Being in Flow. He works with clients and groups all over the world, helping them discover how to improve their lives and live free of limitations. Randy has been called a gentle and powerful leader who encourages people to look within to find meaning and purpose in life. I'm sold already. Randy, I'm so happy to talk with you. First off, could you just let us in on your personal life? Who are you when you're not saving the world?
Well, saving the world might be a big title, but I'm a father. I'm a dad. I have a five-year-old and a three-year-old. So literally, when I am not working and working with people and writing, I am with them all the time.
And that is the most important job we'll all have in our lives, that of parents. So cool for you to say that. Well, Randy, I like to start the show with what I call the one thing. Are you ready?
The one thing. Yep. Sure, I'm ready.
Okay, here we go. Can you quickly share with us one thing someone can do to improve their life today?
Ooh, the one thing. Esoterically, I would say love yourself more. Everyone could do that, but for something that's more grounded, let me go with change your thoughts, upgrade your thoughts.
Well, I like the first one. That was really cool. I think we do need to love ourselves more because we just hit ourselves with negative self-talk all the time. I mean, that is, I think that's a great one. And your second one again, what did you say for your second one?
Upgrade your thoughts, which is loving yourself more. Because, you know, in the self-help world and the New Age world, it's all about love yourself more. And I think that sounds really good in theory, but the practicality of doing that is really the action steps. And so one of the best ways I know for people to get the changes that they want in their lives is by becoming aware of the thoughts that they're having. Because most of the time, you know, there's thoughts of victimization, there's thoughts of this isn't fair, there's thoughts that I'm too old, or I'm too this, or I'm not enough of that. And those thoughts literally work against us getting what we want out of life.
Boy, you are so correct on that. All right, so let's stick with that. Can you give us some tips and strategies? How do we upgrade our thoughts?
Well, one of the ways is self-awareness. So literally becoming aware of the thoughts that you're having. To do that, a good indication would be any time that you're feeling stressed, anxious, fearful, take a moment and ask yourself, what am I thinking right now? How am I viewing this situation? And I would say that if those emotions, those feelings are coming up, then there is a thought which stems from a belief that something isn't fair, or it's not right, or there's an injustice, or I'm not going to have enough money, enough time, some variation of that. And when that comes up, then it's time to say, okay, wait a second, that thought, is making me feel this. Now, I don't want to feel this. How do I want to feel? Well, I want to feel purposeful. I want to feel happy. I want to feel good. So then one of the things to do to feel what you want is to have the thought and think something that is going to make you feel the way that you want to feel.
So that's really cool. I love that strategy. So be more aware. So in the moment or challenging situation, be aware of what you're thinking. So understand what's going through your mind at that point. And if it's not what you want to happen, or you're afraid of what I'm thinking is a bad thought, or I'm fearful at that moment, try to replace it with a better thought of that situation.
Yes. Well, let me give a quick example.
Yeah.
I was just looking at something came across my computer early this morning, and it was some resort in Mexico, and I was looking at that. And, you know, I started feeling, oh, wow, I could see myself all-inclusive on the beach. The kids could go, and I started projecting myself there. And then I realized, oh, wait a second. And I looked at the prices, and I thought, okay, I could do that. But my first instinct was like, oh, that's probably going to be expensive for everyone to go. Now, could I afford it? Yes. But in that moment, I had that constriction of, ooh, I don't know. And then if I take that further, okay, what I could tend to do is then throughout the day feel like I can't go on a trip. I can't do the thing that I want to do. And then what I'm going to start to feel is stressed. I'm going to feel that I don't have enough, whether that's money or whether that's time off of work for some people. And then what happens is I get depressed. I get I get depressed, I would get stressed, I get defeated that I can't do the thing that I want to do, when in fact, that's not exactly true. I could save up money, I could figure out a way to work something out where, you know, I could go for some sort of teaching gig or something, whatever it is, but I would have to think a thought, wait a second, I can make this work, let me see how to do that. And I would literally change what I was thinking in that moment.
That's such a good example. I do that all the time. And I would bet most of us do that. You know, you see something or you want to accomplish something and right away you're like, no, I can't do that. But the way you put it, I never thought of it that way. Okay, I want to go on this trip. And then you go, gosh, I really can't afford this thing. Boy, that's pretty expensive. I never thought about how then that kind of escalates and it kind of makes you depressed, and then you're kind of defeated throughout the day. So I like how you put that, and then how to switch it around into, okay, wait a minute. No, if I really want this, how can I make this happen? Instead of just being depressed, think about, all right, if I really want this, how do I do this, right?
Yes. You know, I see it a lot with social media, and I have clients coming in at least once a week, and they'll describe something about social media, and they'll say, you know, I was looking at Instagram or Facebook, and I was looking at a high school sweetheart's life, and they were on this trip to Bali, and it just looked so good, and they looked so in love, and this and that. And I said, yeah, so what did you feel as a result? Well, I looked at my life and my relationship, and I looked at what I don't have, and I looked at what they have, and I'm comparing, and I looked at what I don't have. Ah, so what was the thought? I'm not happy. I don't have what I want to have. And it is literally in that moment of just looking at a picture on social media that can happen subconsciously, and all of a sudden someone's day is now ruined and they're feeling crappy about themselves and they have no idea why, and it happened in 2 seconds.
One of the things I'm interested to learn from you is you say, you teach how to be fulfilled from the inside out, not outside in. And it sounds like by being bummed out by a picture on Facebook, you're looking at it from the outside in instead of from the inside out. Can you talk about that a little bit, how you came to that realization of how to be fulfilled from the inside out, not the outside in?
Sure. Well, my journey was an interesting one. So I grew up in Los Angeles, in the middle of Hollywood, born into a famous family, the Spelling family. My father was a famous producer. And I had a lot of material things. You know, both my sister and I didn't really want for that much. That doesn't mean that we didn't want for other things, you know, that are more important than material. But still, for the most part, we didn't want for anything material. We had a lot of stuff. And a lot of that stuff in the world that I lived in, there was such a value on that. And I saw the people around me value that so greatly. And I was always the type that would look deeper, and I didn't quite understand how there was so much value being placed on things, and yet, you know, I looked around and people seemed unhappy, and they seemed like they still wanted more out of life, and they weren't appreciating the things that they had. So I went through my life, and then when I got older, I thought the way to happiness was success, you know, just like my father and the people around me. So I became an actor, and then the line kept moving for me to needing to then, from a TV actor, be a film actor, and then I needed to quit acting and do music production and then own my own record label, and then I had my own record label, and I was sitting behind a desk trying to feel powerful, and the line just kept moving, and I realized I kept filling myself up from external things, and you know, went through a whole path of addiction, again, trying to fill myself and find happiness through external things. And I just kept coming up short. And finally, I gave in and I said, okay, I give up. show me a different way, because this way isn't working. And that's when I really changed my life, and I started working from the inside out. And that's when I saw all the changes within me, and then I got to share that with others.
I love that story. So how can we do the same then? How can we be fulfilled from the inside out? What are steps that someone would need to take to start that journey?
One way that I like is figuring out what is most important. And I talk about this in the first chapter of my book, is that placing focus on what's most important in life and really seeing the value in those things. Because a lot of times what is really most important at the end of the day, if we were all going to, you know, die in a few days from now, we would really bring front and center what is most important and hang on to that and really try and experience that the most. That is a good way to hold what's important and focus on that, not all of the external things that, especially in the United States, we tend to go after as a society. And then I would say step number two is finding how to make yourself happy, not waiting for other people or, you know, more money or a place off in the future to make you happy and purposeful and content now.
Finding out what makes you happy, and it's not necessarily other people or the job or more money. So really got to put time into figuring out what makes you happy.
Yeah, and you know, Bill, even if it is more money, I mean, look, who doesn't want more money, right? Most of us do. But is it really money? I mean, I know this might be easy to say, but I let's dissect it a little bit. Is it money, which is a currency, which really is just paper to get to buy you the things that you want? What do you want from money? What does the idea of money hold that we all want it so badly? And that is an internal state, because what does money bring? Safety, security, freedom to do the things that we want to do. Safety, security, comfort, freedom. Can't we go after those things right now, whether we have the money that we want or not?
Another good way to look at it. So what do you want from money? I've never asked myself that, or I've never heard it put that way, but you're right. Safety, security, freedom, comfort, that all makes sense. So do you have a fourth step then?
Well, I don't want to overcomplicate things here. I think that might be a really good start.
So, Randy, one of the reasons I do this podcast is I want people to live healthy, inspired lives. And one of my fears is that people live their life and get to the end, and then they look back and think, well, why didn't I do more? Why didn't I love more? Why didn't I seek out more joy and passion? And they know what they yearn for, but they don't go after it. And I know that you teach people how to take action in their lives. And I want people to take action. So do you have any tips or strategies for us to get people moving, to go after what they want?
There's so many ways. And I really, you know, it's dependent upon the person that I'm working with. But I would say a good general one is to be systematic. Be a little bit more systematic about going after what you want. You know, for me, I tend to be a creative as opposed to more of a type A, you know, organized sort of person. I really have to work at that. And so, you know, a lot of times I would go after what I wanted and I would hold it all in my head. And I'd say, okay, mm-hmm. I'm really passionate about this thing. I'm going to create this thing. I want this thing. And I have energy that goes into it. And then, you know, a few days go by, maybe a week, 2 weeks go by. And then that passion sort of fizzles out a little bit, or that gumption and tenacity just sort of fades a little mm-hmm. bit as, you know, life happens. And if I'm not working at that in a systematic way, continuing to put that into motion on either a daily or, you know, weekly basis, I find that things do tend to peter out. And that's mm-hmm. why, you know, people make New Year's resolutions and it's really good for the first month or, you know, a handful of weeks, and then all of a sudden it just goes back to what it used to be. So becoming systematic about what you want, you know, creating a visualization, creating, having a clear vision of what you want, putting that somewhere where you can see that, so you're holding it in your conscious vision, in your conscious thought throughout the day, and then creating steps. What am I going to do today to bring me closer to realizing my goal, achieving my goal, and scheduling it, making time for it?
So that all comes back to the being more systematic. And I love the board, the visualization, have it right in front of you so it's front and center all the time, and then make sure you work on it on a daily or weekly basis and put together steps. So if you do that and be more systematic, you really have a plan to follow, and if you follow it, you're going to accomplish your goals, whatever that may be, whether it be to get healthy, whether it be to get better at a hobby, whether it to be better at work, or whatever it is you're trying to accomplish. So be more systematic. I like that tip.
And, you know, Bill, back to what we were saying before about, you know, the one thing that you asked me and I said,
yeah,
love yourself. Mm-hmm. I was just telling a client this earlier. If you can see going after your goals and what you want as an act of love, and that each step that you're going to do, because sometimes, I mean, let's face it, for me, some of the steps are just rigorous. You know, in business, there are certain steps that I have to take that I don't really like, and it can feel like a job, and it can feel like work.
Mm-hmm.
But if I look at each and every step as, wait, this is an act of love, because I'm loving myself more by giving to myself, by going after what it is that I want, what my dream is, then it takes on a whole new energy, a whole new life of getting those steps done.
That's an interesting reframe. Going after your goals, think of it as an act of love. I like how you've reframed that. That's pretty cool.
Thanks.
And then I wanted to ask you, and this kind of ties into that too, is moving past limitations or what we perceive as limitations, which also can hamper a goal. You talk a lot about unlimiting ourselves in your book, and limiting you, step out of your past and into your purpose. How do we unlimit ourselves?
Still learning that one, Bill.
That's a process.
It is a process. Well, there are so many ways, and when I was writing this book, what I realized is there are so many limitations, and a lot of those are self-limitations that we can have. So one way is just becoming aware of when we are limiting ourselves. So whether that is a thought that is limiting, whether that's a way of viewing something that is quite literally boxing in the possibilities and the outcome of that particular situation. So it's becoming aware of the ways in which we limit ourselves and then seeing how to move beyond them.
So as you were mentioning earlier about being aware of yourself in a challenging moment, you know, same thing holds true if you're like, nah, I can't do that. Nah, I can never achieve that. Nah, I'm not going to do that. Again, think, be aware. Okay, why am I thinking that? Why am I saying that? Why do I think I can't do that? I want to do that. Why do I think I can't do that? So it comes back to being aware again.
Exactly. Because a lot of those limitations, they're old programs that we get from childhood, from the people around us, from the ways in which, you know, the world has sort of contorted ever so slightly, so we experience it in what we can or can't do, what is malleable and what is not movable. And the truth is that, you know, so many more things are possible if we believe that they are.
Good point. So let me ask you this then. So once you, in your mind, you're set, I'm moving forward, I'm changing, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that. What happens then if you have people around you in your life? Once you become clear and you start moving towards your goals, how do you deal with resistance from people in your life around you who may not like the you with clarity and purpose, who may try to hold you back intentionally or unintentionally?
I know that I'm moving in the right direction. Sometimes that can be a really strong validation when the people around you react in that way.
Oh, okay.
Because, and I sort of laughed when I said that too, because it is a lot of times what I've found is that when someone is making strides in their life, that can be uncomfortable for the people around them because they're used to status quo. And they're used to you showing up in a very particular way. And then when you change the way that you show up, that can be threatening, or it can at the very least be slightly uncomfortable because it's not the norm.
If the people around you are reacting in a certain way because you're not showing up the way that you've always showed up, that's validation that you are moving in the right direction.
Yeah, it's validation that you're changing something.
Mm-hmm. Right. Okay. I
do think there's a learning curve. So imagine the person who never speaks up for themselves, okay? Always is just very passive and allows many things to go on in their lives, even being mistreated by friends or partners at times. If I work with that person and they start speaking up for themselves and creating boundaries and asking for what they want, the people around them are probably going to be a little bit threatened because that shakes the foundation of what they know their relationship to be. And the person who's asking for what they want, it might come out clumsy at first. Or they might say, oh, you know, what you just said, that doesn't feel good to me. Or, no, thank you, I don't like when you do that. It might not come out with the most grace or ease. Or they might say, nope, stop. I can't deal with that anymore. But they're learning. And so it takes that person getting comfortable doing that and practicing more and more to bring a certain amount of fluidity to that process. And then for the people around them, the relationship has to be readjusted a bit, and it just has to be recalibrated. And hopefully the relationships are strong enough that the other person can say, oh, okay, I realize that person is now showing up differently. I would like to meet them where they're at. And there are other times, Bill, and I'm sure you see this all the time, that someone outgrows the friends or the relationship that they're in. And, you know, at that point, it's worth asking, do I want this in my life anymore?
Okay. And then going down that road, if that's what it is, if you're trying to get healthy and your friend's like, what are you going to the gym for? Come on, man, what are you doing? Or how come you're not drinking anymore? Somebody, can we always go out for beers? What do you mean you're not drinking anymore? No, I don't need that in my life. I'm not doing it anymore. So I suppose there would be an awkward, turbulent period in the relationship, but eventually it's going to figure itself out. Either you come to a conclusion that we are going to still be friends, or like you said, I'm moving in one direction, you're not going in that direction, and then maybe the friendship eventually comes to an end, I guess.
Great way of saying it.
Randy, I'm enjoying talking with you, and coming up, we get the high five from Randy Spelling. If I could ask a favor, after the interview with Randy, I have one simple goal for this podcast. I want people to walk away with something they've heard to improve their life, to make their life better, to have more joy in their life. And the more people we can reach with this podcast, the more people we have a chance to help. So if you could rate and review the podcast on iTunes after the interview with Randy, I would really appreciate it. The high five with Randy is next. Which Way is Life is brought to you by Audible.com. And just for listening to Which Way is Life, Audible is offering a free audiobook download with a free 30-day trial to give you the opportunity to check it out. So if you like listening to podcasts like this one, you're going to love Audible.com. So I would recommend you check it out and browse all the books you can download for free with a 30-day trial. Just go to audibletrial.com/ and then type in Which Way is Life. Again, that's audibletrial.com/ Which Way is Life for your free audio book. Which Way is Life is also brought to you by Real Salt. Now, you probably already use sea salt on your food because you know of its health benefits, but is your salt real? Take a look at the ingredients panel. You might be surprised by what's inside. A lot of salts contain fillers, anti-caking chemicals, even dextrose, which is a type of sugar. So you want a salt like Real Salt that hasn't been stripped of its minerals or had chemicals added. Real Salt. You get all the minerals, all the flavor, and all the benefits of sea salt. That's real. Real Salt brand sea salt. Find it at your local health food store or go to realsalt.com. Time for the high five with my guest today, Randy Spelling. Randy, are you ready?
I'm ready.
All right, question number one. For someone who is in a dark place in their life right now, what's the first step they should take to kind of get themselves out of that position?
Ask themselves what tools they have to move forward in the direction they want to go, and find what they already have and what support they already have, the wisdom that they already have inside to be able to harness that to move forward.
So it's kind of like a self-audit almost.
Yeah, is to find the power within. Because a lot of times when someone is in that dark place, they can't find the light within them. They can't find what's already there. So if they can become aware of what's already there, and maybe they've done it before, or maybe there are tools that they have and stuff that they know, people that can help support them. When they become aware of that, that can help move them forward.
And again, back to that awareness then, I think that would probably help in that same situation. Question number two, knowing what you know now, what would you tell your younger self?
We don't have enough time. I would tell my younger self to hang on, that although there's going to be some incredibly dark and turbulent times, that you're going to come through it and you're going to be able to use that information to help others.
Okay. Question number three. I ask all my guests similar questions, and one of them is about joy. How can we experience more joy in our lives on a regular basis?
Be thankful for what you already have, and then expand that appreciation. Just become aware of what you have now. Find anything in your life that you appreciate, that you're grateful for, and let that lead the next minutes or hours. that will change.
I think that's so good. We, most of us anyway, are all so blessed in our lives, and I think we take a lot of things in our lives for granted. And like you just said, think about what you have that's good in your life, because it's there, but you have to look. And when you find it, it helps you move on to the next thing, and it kind of opens your world a little bit. Question number four, is there a quick way, or how do we reawaken abundance and increase energy in our own lives?
You'll have to watch the video on my website for that. That's a 5-day process.
All right, we're going to put a link on the show notes page at radiomd.com where you can find that video and Randy's website and all that good stuff. All right, question number five. Here we go. If you had one wish for the world today, what would it be?
That's a good question. Find how you are similar to each and every person. Find the similarity instead of the difference.
Wow, in our supercharged political world that we live in right now, with the country very divided, that is very timely and sage advice.
Yeah, I would like to say that differences are celebrated, but I don't think that's true. And I think that differences cause fear and judgment. So when we look at how we're different, we automatically separate and then we judge. And then a whole list of things come from that that are not so good. So we can find at the baseline of humanity, what makes us human? Look, I've been so blessed to work with thousands of people through the years. And I will tell you that the best thing I've found is that no matter where someone is from, I mean, I've worked with people on so many continents from all walks of life. It's our humanity, our shared humanity, and the emotions that we have, and the things that make us human, that are exactly the same. And just a want for a better life, to feel purposeful, to feel fulfilled, to, you know, just to want the best for ourselves and to be happy. I would say almost every human being shares that. So to find what our similarity is, that just, it stops judgments in its tracks.
Well, that's great advice. Really, really good. Because you're right, if you look deep enough, the similarities are there, and probably we are more similar than different, although, like you say, we should celebrate differences, but deep down inside, the similarities are there, and we can't forget that as we look at our fellow man. So, great advice. Randy, thank you so much for talking with me today. How can we connect with you?
Through my website, randyspelling.com.
And all the links to all your other social media will be there, too. And we'll put links to that stuff on the show notes page at radiomd.com. And, Randy, thanks again. And I'm going to leave you with one of my favorite quotes. Remember to enjoy the little things in life, because one day you will look back and realize they were the big things. Randy, thank you again.
Thank you, Bill.
How cool. My thanks to Randy Spelling. That was terrific. And remember to catch every episode of Which Way Is Life. Just hit subscribe on iTunes or my show page at radiomd.com. And again, if I could ask a favor, please take 30 seconds, hop over to iTunes, just search Which Way Is Life, type it in, I'll pop right up. Just rate and review the podcast. Tell me what you think of that great interview with Randy. I would appreciate it. By doing that, we gain a wider audience, and it gives us a chance to help more people. So if you could do that, I would really appreciate it. And thank you for listening. As you know, that's the biggest thing to me. Which Way Is Life is produced by RadioMD.com, award-winning health podcast. I'd also like to thank my producer, Pamela Moore. I'm Bill Klaproth. You can find me at Which Way Is Life on Twitter, and same thing on Facebook. Like those two and connect with me there. You can also check out the show notes at RadioMD.com for all of my episodes. Thank you again for listening, and stay well.